pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Tony Davis, Derek Stinson, glad to be along with you. Also on the World Wide Web at ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up on the program today, we will catch up with the man you will see covering the Bowl Championship Series, or one of them, for Fox Sports Net. And, of course, that is Charles Davis. Also does great work on the NFL Network, keeping you up to date on how the college situation is going throughout the year, and works for the Big Ten Network as well. And Charles Davis will join us later on in the show today. As we kind of talked about, and as the insiders were saying, Kansas State breaking a little bit of news here as Coach Bill Snyder is putting his staff together. And we had talked about Clemson's defensive coordinator, Vic Koning, stepping down the day after Dabo Swinney was officially named the head coach. And yesterday, when we were talking with Paul Strelo about Clemson football from the state newspaper, he said, well, they wanted to do different things, philosophical and X and O-wise, out on the field, the way they played defense. And so he got out of there. Well, now he is joining Bill Snyder at Kansas State, co-defensive coordinator. He will oversee the linebacker, or the secondary, in this football team. And also Mo Lattimore will continue his tenure with the Wildcats. It'll be his 25th season as an assistant coach in the Big 12 Conference. He also coached at UTEP and Missouri. The former K-State player has spent 15 seasons in Manhattan. Joe Bob Clements is going to oversee the defensive ends. Chris Koch will oversee the linebackers, and he will share the defensive coordinator duties with Koning. So K-State starting to put that together. This is an interesting look because Bill Snyder has to be no more than a figurehead here, does he, Tony? Unless he thinks he can coach 12 more years.
Well, yeah, how long? Yeah, that's exactly the question. How long do you expect him to be around that program? And, well, I guess in my mind, I can't see him being around there 2 or 3 years. And maybe he's getting in with some of the boosters, some of the money, and that kind of ease some tensions. They didn't want to throw somebody in they thought wasn't the right fit, so he eases a guy in, kind of eases their concerns. But yeah, I think 2-3 years, and then he, you know, he's 72 years old, correct?
69
years old. Okay, he'd be 72 then. Okay, I think 3 years would be absolute maximum, and then you turn it over to pretty much this guy if you name him the assistant head coach, right? I mean, that's the direction they're going.
I'm tired of that, too, naming head coaches before they're head coaches. What if in 2 years your program turns to stink? Do you want to prick somebody off your staff to continue that? Texas is doing it. Florida State is doing it. Oregon has now done it. I think they were the latest one to do it. But we will see. And I think the most interesting thing to keep an eye on is how all these junior college kids are going to relate and play for Bill Snyder. Now, in the day, Bill Snyder helped build his program with some junior college kids, but this is totally different. This is 20 years later. These are kids that he did not recruit. These are kids that he did not see play football. These are kids that he did not go after. These are kids that came to Kansas State with a young black head coach that they wanted to play football for, assumably, or presumably. And now you bring in a guy only 3 years removed from the program that is totally different in Bill Snyder. And I think Kansas State continues to struggle here for a couple more years at least.
Does Josh Freeman take another snap for the Wildcats?
Well, how high up does he go? The big thing here is the money and the salary cap that is coming in for rookies for the NFL. And that's why I think it's interesting if Tim Tebow stays. Colt McCoy says he's staying. Tebow hasn't said that, but if he does, McCoy says yesterday he is. You know, if you're Josh Freeman, I think you have to stay. I mean, your stock's not that high. It could be. It's not. So we will see. 1-888-455-ESPN. That's the phone number for the Doug and Daddy Show. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up today. So a chance for you to win a $25 gift card to Troutman's. That's coming up. Also, you can email the Dent Popper inbox anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Charles Davis from Fox Network going to join us to talk about the BCS later on in the program today. But a really good NFL football game last night. Real disappointing if you had selected Tampa Bay to win that game. And I guess the general wagering public is probably pretty fired up because it sounded like a lot of people were all over Carolina, according to the Vegas lines last night. So that means a lot more happy Tuesday morning coffee and roll for folks around the country. But this was a close football game until the fourth quarter. And Tampa Bay, we saw something that I guess we didn't expect to see. They wore out. It wasn't so much that, I mean, Carolina ran pretty good all night, but in the end, it looked like watching some overmatched college teams, and you don't expect to see that in the pros. You don't expect to see one core of NFL professional football players to wear out another core of NFL professional football players.
I'm starting to kind of change my tune, and obviously in the NFL, it's basically required that you have two or more capable running backs. But in the past, I've always thought that you needed the rough and tumble guy that would drop a shoulder and pound you, and then you needed the shiftier guy on the outside to make some moves and make some big plays. I think the power games, you see it in New York Giants with their three running backs. You're starting to see it with Carolina with Jonathan Stewart and D'Angelo Williams. Those guys just run hard and come at you. And finally, you're right, you go back to the first game, I believe the stat at the end of the ball game was last night, 1.8 yards a carry or 2.0, something like that, to 6.2 last night. They just pounded this team. And they needed a first down last night, and they broke loose for the touchdown late at the end of the game. But it was a sweep to the outside, and it was going for 8 yards had they made a tackle. I mean, it was just simple toss, sweep, right. Eight yards.
You know what, though? I agree that you need good running backs on your football team, more than one. I disagree that you need to platoon them. And this can go into a huge argument. But are the Denver Broncos platooning running backs? No.
They're just trying to keep somebody healthy.
Well, chuckle. They've got a lot of good running backs, and they've had to use a bunch of them. But everybody that they have plugged in has done a good job. They have not had to use, given the opportunity, and in their history and under Mike Shanahan, they're not using three running backs in a ball game. What are the Pittsburgh Steelers going to do next year? They've got to get rid of somebody. You've got Willie Parker, Rashard Mendenhall, you hope is back healthy. Mueldy Moore has done more than a great job in a fill-in role. And then you bring in this putt Gary Russell on the goal line, which is the biggest joke and burns me. I mean, if Gary Russell, and I pick anybody, there's a lot of teams that have this. The Giants are doing it with Ward. Is that
Ahmad Bradshaw and Derek
Ward? Yeah. You know, Brandon Jacobs can't get to the last yard and a half. You know, we were making fun in that goal line stand watching the Steelers-Dallas game. And again, this is just the most recent. I'm not picking on the Steelers, but they are a team that overdoes this. Willie Parker comes in, first and goal, 6 yard line. Down to the 3, next play down to the 1. So he's gotten you 5 yards
out
in 2
six.
Plays. Up, time to get, they leave him in for third down, but they throw the football. And then they bring in Gary Russell, who loses a yard on fourth down. Yay, Dallas defense, good job. Am I missing something? If your guy is the starting running back, the reason he is the starting running back is because he is the best running back on the football team. In Dallas last year, why do you think we started to see more of Marion Barber than Julius Jones? As I preached all year, why is Jones still in there? And by the way, how good was he in Seattle this year? Oh yeah, nighty-night, JJ. Marion Barber proves to be the better running back. Now, if you're in a transition where you can't just go into the beginning of the year and say, well, Julius, we're benching you because, well, we think Marion's better, but we're not sure. I can understand that. But they didn't just bring in Marion Barber in goal line situations or third and one situations. They used him for different times during the game. But these football teams that think they've got a great running back that can come in and get you that 2 tough yards, you know what? Maybe you need 2 tough yards on first down. And you know what? How many times do they actually get that yardage? the bus was about as good as any of them at it. But he never came in on third and three. It was third and a half a yard. You know, leave me the best running back in the game. He gives me the best chance to win.
But, Doug, what do you think? These coaches just outthinking themselves or thinking too much, overthinking the situation?
Well, we've heard the screams all year. Why is Quentin Castilla in there fumbling the ball on third and short all year long when he's never in there any other time? Well, you're seeing it in practice, I understand. The number one guy is getting you the yardage all day long. And all of a sudden, he's not good enough on the money down to get you the first down or the touchdown? I just don't understand it. It's not freshness. I mean, this is the National Football League. All these guys are in shape. And you know what? After he gets the touchdown, he can run his ass over to the bench and get on the oxygen tank if he's that tired. I don't understand it. And I know there's a ton of football coaches out there, and of course, where we're at, and there's no NFL coaches listening except maybe Billy C. But, you know, high school coaches, Division II coaches, NAIA coaches wish they had the luxury to use all those guys. UNK, hell, they had three great running backs this year. They had to use them out of necessity. But why was running back A starting ahead of running back B? He was better. Now, why?
Well, you would think so.
Well, that's why he should be in the, you know, I just a part of me, like 5% of me, I'm sure there's the fantasy football guys out there or the non-fantasy going, oh, you just don't hate when your fantasy guy doesn't score. That's not the point. I mean, yeah, you can bring that into the equation if you want to, but that's not the point. When did this become in vogue? This has been in vogue longer than everybody's saying at the end of the day. What is the point?
Well, last night in the third quarter, I believe Jonathan Stewart had 12 carries for 82 yards, and I believe D'Angelo Williams had 14 carries for 87 yards.
And again, Tony, don't, as I continue to interrupt you, don't mistake a guy coming in for a whole series or a whole quarter, and then, you know, you play running back A two series, and you play running back B two series. That's fine. But when you play running back A 34 carries and running back B comes in for three carries every time to score a touchdown, I'm missing something because I don't get it. I don't understand it. I wouldn't stand for it if I was a starting running back because in this money-hungry world, what shows? Stats. Touchdowns as big as any of them.
Well, when you go to the bargaining table, 15 touchdowns, when you get all the yards, if you get all the yards and three touchdowns, that doesn't do you a whole lot of good, and you think that some of these running backs, but you don't hear much about it. You know, you really don't hear. And most of the teams that are doing this are having success, and maybe they don't want to, you know, mess up that chemistry. How good are the Carolina Panthers? The Carolina Panthers went out. Not only
they're not going to win out.
They're the number one seed if they went out.
Derek, I know I had this in front of me. Could you please pull up Carolina's?
They are the number
schedule.
One. They are
well,
the number one seed.
I don't even have to do it. Tony has it here, and that's fine. Great. They're the great thing this week. Woohoo, Carolina! They're the great thing this week.
Well, they're 10-3. They've been a pretty good thing most of the year.
Right. I started, and all of a sudden we forgot about the Tennessee Titans. Guess what? Tennessee, Carolina. I'll take Tennessee. But I like Carolina. Fine. Great. You have to have some good football teams in the NFL. Some teams with good records. In the National Football League. But I started to look at our power rankings that we'll put together on Thursday, and where do you start to put football teams? Who's good? Who's not? Carolina, very good. But if I remember right, and they're very good right now. They've changed since the first time they played Tampa Bay when Tampa Bay just crushed them. And they may meet again if both teams make it into the playoffs. But a lot of people giving us a little guff about why we weren't talking a lot of pro football yesterday. Well, we just didn't have time. But Dallas, Pittsburgh, you know, blah, blah, blah. I started to think, you want to talk about how good Carolina is. Well, how good is Pittsburgh? You know, you think, God, they are good. Man, how good was that defense? They come from behind. You know what? And this is not a total shot at Steeler fan. But I got to thinking this morning, if it took you, pick any football team, pick any of them, Giants, Patriots in their heyday, the Colts who are on a run right now. If it took you five turnovers and a fourth quarter comeback at home with supposed one of the best defenses in the National Football League going against a Dallas defense that, you know what, is good but not great, wouldn't you be a little concerned? I think Dallas played very well, and I think Pittsburgh is a very good football team. But in the big picture, five turnovers, you needed a huge fourth quarter rally and a pick six to get the job done. and you didn't run over a Dallas defense that, you know, wasn't great.
Well, and your defense gave up rushing yards for the first time all year. Some question marks there all of a sudden for the first time.
Exactly. I'm saying, you know, are both teams great? I mean, before Pittsburgh fan crushes Dallas and Dallas fan crushes Pittsburgh and all the yippings going on, I think you just saw two great football teams. And I think if you put them heads up, no turnovers. I mean, I will say every bounce in that football game basically went Pittsburgh's way. And I think Pittsburgh's on their way to the playoffs and Dallas may be bounced out.
How?
I'm not sitting here saying Dallas is a better football team because Pittsburgh won the game. But there are instances of like of that every week, and we're seeing it more this year. And you see it last night with Carolina and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay boinks a field goal. Tampa Bay doesn't convert in the red zone. They don't get the lead. Carolina has the momentum.
Doug, but you go back to that game. How bad was Tony Romo? From start to finish in that football game, he was all over the place. Never did look sharp. And I don't understand.
Hard being a Husker and a Cowboy fan, ain't it? You watch Joe Gans light him up, and then all of a sudden you go, what in the world was that? Then you watch Tony Romo go out one week and light him up, and the next week he's sailing at 15 yards over their head. It's week to week in the National Football League. They're not robots. They're football players. And as Colin Cowherd said yesterday, you know what? Yes, John Elway made the most comebacks in NFL history. He also didn't make every one of them. And three or four other examples. You know, Terry Bradshaw won four Super Bowls. Wasn't necessarily because he ever threw for 300 yards. There are great athletes out there that aren't perfect. Even Joe Montana, the great one, one of the top 50 quarterbacks in NFL history. Even Joe Montana didn't win them all.
You go. You wanted to, Carolina schedule. That's where we got on this.
Just give me the last three games.
Last three games, they're at home with Denver, who they should just paste. And then they go on the road to face the Giants and New Orleans.
And New Orleans should be out of it by then.
Tennessee.
Carolina's the big thing is Carolina. You know, you look at some of those games early on in the season, their losses are to Philadelphia, to Pittsburgh, and, of course, am I getting that right here?
Well, there's some preseason
games. Tampa Bay. Oh, excuse me, yes. They lost to Minnesota, really. Tampa Bay, and then Atlanta handled them just a couple of weeks ago. So in 2 weeks, they come from giving up 45, and they gave up points last night, too. Carolina's okay. This is not the team that's going to win the NFC. We need to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. More sports to talk about, including the lines are out for all of the college football games, and we will tell you if Nebraska or Clemson is favored in that Gator Bowl by how much. Charles Davis from Fox Sports is going to join us to talk about the national championship. All that and more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You can go psycho. You can hurt yourself or someone else.
I don't know. I think a man could get used to this. Grow to love it.
Careful out there. Doug and Daddy will be right back.
An exceptional camper sale. And now guess what? Trade-ins. We took a whole bunch of exceptional trade-ins, and now Jim says too many used on the lot at Eagle Crest. We need to have a used camper sale. These are really nice units, too, like this 95 fold-down priced at $3,300, or a 97 Mallard travel trailer, only $9,500, or this 2001 Wilderness fifth wheel, $15,500. They gotta go! That's why we're having this super huge used camper sale today on West Highway 30 in Grand Island. Eagle Crest Campers, a subsidiary of Chief Industries.
We've been your personal jewelers since 1878. Hawthorne Jewelry.
Hawthorne Jewelry has been making memories bright for 130 years. This Christmas, let our staff help you make this a holiday to remember. With huge savings on icy diamonds and snowy pearls, we'll give you what's needed to make this the most special of holidays. Let Rudolph's Nose guide you to Hawthorne Jewelry, where you'll find a special gift that shines so bright, why you could even say it glows. Visit us today. We're open late.
The agents were catching up on their paperwork and waiting for the rain to stop when a very unusual man walked in.
I want to buy some of thine insurance.
Boy, that rain is really something, huh?
So what kind of coverage are you looking for?
Something for thy boat and thy livestock.
What kind of boat do you have?
I havest an ark.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell that?
Just like Arkansas, but thou leavest off the ansaw after the K.
Mm-hmm. Now for the livestock. You got cattle.
Two.
Hogs?
Two.
Horses?
Two.
Alpacas?
Barney Insurance. Call us at 237-2222.
It's over. Our move is finally over, and we couldn't be happier. Lind Eye Care is now officially located at 4107 7th Avenue. So open your eyes and come see what we can do for you. For example, at Lind Eye Care, you can count on Dr. Lind and Dr. Bierbauer to take care of all of your vision needs. Whether it be new contacts or LASIK surgery, at Lind Eye Care, they treat your eyes as if they were treating their own. Plan now to see Lind Eye Care at their new location at 4107 7th Avenue in Kearney.
The best opinions on the hot topics will qualify for a Sun Heat Systems energy-efficient space heater, and we're giving away one a week for 10 weeks. Listen to Doug and Daddy weekdays 11 to noon. Your Sun Heat Systems hot topic opinion might lower your heating bills by hundreds of dollars. Brought to you by Sun Heat Systems and ESPN Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
In order to test his will, Fred likes to subject himself to extreme conditions. Today, he's swimming with the Polar Bear Club during a blizzard.
Yee-haw!
At Train, we believe in extreme testing, too. We expose them to desert-like heat, Arctic-like cold, and a gauntlet of abuses. So you can be confident you're investing in the most durable, reliable system available.
Get your extreme-tested Train from the folks that continually pass the test with our customers. Tested, tried, and true. That's why you want to call Fidelki Heating and Air.
It's hard to stop a Train.
A wind advisory remains in effect for the area early on yet today, as we'll see cloudy skies and some scattered flurries or a few snow showers. Then some partial clearing is expected this afternoon. Temperatures will stay up around 20 for the high, with north winds of around 15 to 30 miles per hour. Back to 13 for a low tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Say, can't stomach what you're gonna see. It's down there, water's edge, wasted and broken.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Go to the Debt Popper Inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Don't forget, the best emails and the best calls are all eligible for our Sun Heat space heater system, which we give away every week. The hot topic, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Adam and Holdridge says, if I had a vote, which I don't, I would vote for H-Man's rant to win the Sun Heat space heater. I hear it gets a little chilly in the basement this time of year. Adam goes on to say, Carolina, the best team in the NFL. Real question mark. This year, more than any other, is all about the what-have-you-done-for-me-lately mentality. Titans lose once, and suddenly no one cares about them. Several analysts jumped on the Jets bandwagon. Where are they now? Forgive me if I'm a little apprehensive about the Carolina Panthers. Adam and Holdridge, Adam is correct.
Okay, Doug. Well, there's 3 weeks left of the NFL season. Right now, who's your two teams? Let's write these down.
Well, 2 weeks ago we did this, and I said, you know what, I'll hang with Dallas and Indy. I said that. Now it's Giants-Pittsburgh, Giants-Tennessee. I don't think that you would pick many more than three teams right now.
Okay.
I mean, who else is going to challenge the New York Giants in the NFC?
Well, I say Carolina after last night.
I say no. I say no. I say the Giants and anybody else that's going to challenge the Giants has to be that team that gets red hot. Comes in on a three-game winning streak, gets into the playoffs, plays that first-round game, and doesn't have to play the Giants until the NFC Championship game, kind of like the Giants did last year, coming from the back of the pack, coming from that five or six seed. That's the only team. Who could that be? Well, right now it could be any of the teams in the NFC East. They're all still alive, and if the Eagles continue to play, I mean, a month ago we thought that's the team that could do it, and then they go out and puke against Cincinnati, which could cost them their season as far as a postseason. You know, that's one of them. Nobody in the NFC North, nobody. Nobody, 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 nobody. Everybody in the NFC South. I would say whoever is, you know, in Arizona, they get to play at home, but if they play the Giants, they don't get to play at home. So nighty-night Arizona. They've already had that. So I think it's whoever gets hot in the NFC South. Right now it's Carolina. I don't think it's going to end up being Carolina. In fact, I'm almost going to say Carolina loses on Sunday to Denver. Denver went out and beat Atlanta. That's what Denver does. The problem is right now, Tony, in the NFL, as soon as you start liking somebody, they go in the tank. Well, Carolina and Denver have now put together a couple of nice performances, even though Denver was behind early to Kansas City. Gut check, came back, won the football game. That's a pretty nice win against your main rival, whether you think it's Kansas City or Oakland. I think it's Kansas City. But it's a Monday night game. You come back, you're playing a team that's still hungry. The only problem with Denver is they've got that division all but clinched right now, and they really don't need to win because they're probably hosed no matter what they do. They're going to be on the road, and they're going to win their division. So who do you got?
I've got Carolina and Indianapolis.
What? Can I get some of that? Can I get some coin on that? I mean, I don't know what kind of odds you'd get on that, but it ain't enough.
Okay.
There's no way. There is no way. No way.
Oh, who do you got?
God, I hate picking the Giants. I've got the NFC South winner. Can I do that?
Okay.
Can I do that? NFC South winner against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
And then the Tennessee Titans.
So you've got Carolina and Pittsburgh.
It's going to be Pittsburgh. No.
You can only get two.
I'm not taking Carolina.
Next Tuesday.
You want me to pick somebody. All right. Well, I'd be crazy not to pick the Giants. I'd be crazy not to pick the Giants.
Okay.
But I think they may have started to unravel. I still don't think Philadelphia really was that. They won the football game. There was a couple of just big special teams plays there. I can't pick Atlanta to go to the Super Bowl. I was all geared up to take Tampa Bay. All right, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Super Bowl. There. I said it.
Okay.
And there's no way that's happening either, but that's who I'm picking today.
All right.
Let's go back to the Doug and Daddy inbox, the Den Popper inbox here at Doug and Daddy Show. Karina weighs in, says good morning. See, now that's the way an email should start. Not hello, Boses. Hello, doofuses. H-Man in the basement. Good morning. Well, good morning, Karina. The coaching carousel in college football has become more of a business in my eyes than what it used to be. What, at major college programs, you're not allowed to have a losing season? Well, exactly. I want to be especially focusing on Tuberville and Fulmer. Of course, Tommy Tuberville, Auburn, Phil Fulmer from Tennessee. All Tuberville did was win 42 games between 04 and 07. As recently as 04, they were unbeaten, went 11-2 in 06, 9-4 last year, and slid to 5-7 this season. And those Auburn brass paid Tuberville $5.1 million to move on. With Fulmer, as legendary broadcaster Keith Jackson once described him, Tennessee to the core. Tennessee to the core, fifth Hummer. The only job for Fulmer was the one he's held for the past 17 years in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains. By the way, he's staying at Tennessee, and he's got an administrative position. That just came out last night. The one at the university where he spent more than 30 years of his life as a player, assistant coach, and head coach, the same university to which he brought its first national championship in 47 years, and along the way won 150 of his games against 51 defeats. Now, it's been noted also that Mr. Fulmer has been hired as an administrative position with the same college. How is the AD going to feel crossing Phil in the hallways?
Well, that would be a little bit stressful, I would have to think, especially this soon. But you know what? I suppose the money's right for Phil, too, in that administrative role. Probably took care of him for his service with the university.
Well, they're making him work for his buyout a little bit. Daddy, the spreads are out for all of the college football bowl games. We talked about the BCS championship games yesterday. You expected Nebraska to be favored somewhere between
one and three.
Clemson is favored. Is this because they're closer to home? And how quickly should we fly to Vegas? The line opened at 1.5 and has quickly spread to 3. Clemson favored by 3 against Nebraska. I know that probably college coaches don't look at this, but I think personally we should contact Coach Pelini, maybe mail this to him, say, did you know you're an underdog? This would immediately be gummed up to the locker room.
Can we agree on the 9th day of December that Nebraska had a darn good year this year?
Yes.
I mean, is that fair to say?
Yes.
Here 140 miles from the Capitol.
If there is a Nebraska, true Nebraska fan that is disappointed with this year compared to your expectations after last year and the beginning of this year, and then you're flipped in the head. I mean, they're two plays away, obviously, from being 10-2. Well, 10-3, because they would have lost in the Big 12 championship to Oklahoma. And maybe going to a different bowl game, say the Alamo, to play Northwestern, which I'm not sure that would be intriguing, but it would be in Texas. Yeah, we'll take it. considering I said 7-5 was where Nebraska was going to be, and they did sweep the last three games in which I thought they would go 2-1, but I didn't know K-State and Colorado would just not be as good as they turned out not to be. But 7-5, 8-4, it's all in that same ballpark. They're playing in a New Year's Day bowl game when they didn't even play in a bowl game last year. They're going to play a good team in the ACC out of Clemson, but I like Nebraska's chances.
But do you just think a lot of people out there, Doug, I think maybe the reason, and this is my point, maybe the reason the line went there is because people are looking at Nebraska and going, they're 8 wins, and going, who did they beat? Over the 8 wins, who did Nebraska really beat? Kansas? I don't know where else you go from there. San Jose State, New Mexico State, Western Michigan, Iowa State, Baylor, Kansas State, Colorado. Kansas is the only. Do you think that has something to do with it in the early money?
Who'd Clemson beat? Citadel. North Carolina State at the beginning of the year. South Carolina State.
Crush them, I bet.
Boston College. Duke. Virginia. South Carolina.
I guess South Carolina, you would say, an okay win. But
yeah, well, a nice rival win. Well, Western Michigan's in a bowl. Kansas is in a bowl. Virginia Tech is ACC champions. Oh, we didn't beat them. Kansas bowl game. Yeah, I mean, I guess the overriding feeling was that outside of Missouri and Oklahoma, Nebraska was in the other two games, had a chance to win both those games.
I guess I was thinking about that going, God, 8 wins, that sounds pretty darn good. And you got to remember where Nebraska was a year ago, too.
Oh. And Tony, how about this? We won 5 of the last 6. The loss was to Oklahoma. You can't just take out the first quarter.
Yeah.
But if you take out the first quarter, Nebraska didn't roll over and die like they did last year. They played football competitively with Oklahoma, even though both teams just kind of kept scoring. Wasn't Nebraska's fault what the competition was, and I think that was a very nice win over Kansas, by the way.
Fair enough. I got to thinking, boy, the national perception of Nebraska, I'm not sure people a year ago realized how far Nebraska has fallen.
I think Daddy just continues to hate the Big Red, Derek.
No!
Hates him.
No, I don't hate the Big Red. I just looking at the 8 wins and going, boy, we should have handled all those teams.
Let's take a look at some of the lines of games of note. Hawaii favored by how many over Notre Dame? Did you look at a lot of these?
No.
Okay, I thought maybe you only looked at Nebraska. Hawaii's favored over Notre Dame. 1.5 over Notre Dame.
Oh, God.
I want to definitely give you the Big 12. Missouri, Northwestern.
Well, Missouri's going to be what, 13?
13. Opened at 10.5 and is already 13. Oregon, Oklahoma State.
First of all, what's the over-under?
72.
Oh, okay.
The biggest one is 76, and that's the Ball State-Tulsa game.
Okay. I would say that, boy, Oregon just beat Oregon State. I would say, boy, is that an even game?
Oklahoma State is now favored by as many as 4.
What did it open at?
1.5. Again, opening is what Las Vegas sports consultants that throw it out at. Minnesota, Kansas.
Kansas is a little hot right now. I figure Kansas fair by field goal.
Yeah, see, this is. Remember yesterday I said Minnesota, good thing they had a start of the year. Kansas by 10.
Oh.
Kansas by 10. Clemson by 3 over Nebraska right now. Is that all of them? Mississippi, Texas Tech.
Oh, Texas Tech's got to be 10.
5.5.
Really?
6 over Mississippi. And, of course, yesterday we already told you that Texas was favored by 10 over Ohio State, open at 8, and that Florida was favored by 3 over Oklahoma. Need to take a break of the Doug and Daddy Show because Charles Davis from Fox Sports and the NFL Network are going to talk national championship football with us when we come back.
It was just last week when a Doug and Daddy listener was overheard making this remark.
Gonads are useful for their purpose, but they are no substitute for brains.
Guess that about sums it up.
Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd on ESPN Radio. I've said it before. I won't endorse a company unless I know the people who run it and I buy into them. Well, that's what you get with Vizio, the number one U.S.-based flat panel TV company in America. I've got two Vizios myself, and I've been saying this now for over a year. With a rough economy, why pay for gas, parking, food, stay at home, watch it on TV. Say it out loud, better quality at lower prices. It makes a lot of sense. VizioTV.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Keith Jackson for FreeCreditReport.com. In the grand old game of life, your credit score could cost you or save you a lot of money. That's why it's so important to check your credit at FreeCreditReport.com. Log on to FreeCreditReport.com, and faster than you can say, "Whoa, Nelly," you'll see your credit score and credit report online. You can even print it out if you want to. Stay on top of your credit at FreeCreditReport.com.
Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
The dripping and wet spots you see next spring in and around your RV can be avoided with proper winterization now at Rich & Sons. So many areas of an RV contain fluids, and when fluids freeze, they expand and create cracks and leaks and expense. Talk to the technicians at Rich & Sons, and they'll tell you they also check the roof and siding with a performance guarantee. Save money later when you winterize now. Take your RV to Rich & Sons on South 281 Grand Island.
In Las Vegas, you never leave a restaurant hungry. Just as Johnny Casinos in Grand Island is a sure bet for great food every night. Barbecue chicken and rib Tuesdays, ribeye Wednesdays, prime rib Friday and Saturdays. Try Johnny Casinos, west side of the Conestoga Mall off 281 Grand Island. Now featuring Texas Hold'em Wednesday night, 6:30 and 9:15. Remember, what goes on at Johnny Casinos will bring you back to Johnny Casinos.
Show. Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up in just a moment. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Colt McCoy coming back. Good, bad?
Good for Texas.
Short answers. Six Big 12 women's basketball teams are ranked four in the top 10. Nebraska women's
basketball. That's
good. Actually got to see a little bit of the Connie Yori show. Just flip it through the channels. There they were, so I stopped and listened. Yeah. Wow. The opponents that they play and the percentage of teams that were in the top 25 or in the national tournament last year. Good luck, girls. You're going to need one tonight against Cal State Bakersfield, 7-0-5. Hastings women fall to number 4 after their first loss of the year, so they fall all the way to number 4 in the country. Boy, that stinks. UNK volleyball team, Tony, 6th. Went into the tournament 9th, lost in 5 to Concordia St. Paul, finished 6th. I think we can live with that, 32-4. Wayne State finished 25th.
I can live with that as well.
So, there you go. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. Hey, one more item that we want to bring to your attention is it must have been really important. Here's what we got. We got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Should we do it right now? Let's do it right now, because Charles Davis is going to join us in just a second here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Yesterday, we're ready, folks. We're ready. Should we take him on the air?
I think so.
Okay, 1-888-455-ESPN. 1-888-455-ESPN. The first correct caller of our Troutman's Tuesday trivia question gets a $25 gift card to Troutman's. You cannot have won in the last 2 months, so if you've won in the last 2 months, you're not eligible. Give everybody a shot, folks, to enjoy all the great food that you can get at Troutman's. Had some more Troutman's bone and ham today. Without the bone. Took it off the bone. Fried it up. Good stuff. 1-888-455-ESPN. And here is your trivia question for the day. Yesterday, the all-time leading scorer in the National Football League retired, which was Morton Anderson. Who is the second leading scorer in NFL history? Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with? Did they hang up?
Yep, apparently they didn't know.
Who is the second leading scorer in NFL history? Morton Anderson was number one. Who is number two? 1-888-455-ESPN. Do we have a guess?
Gary Anderson.
Man, was this pasted on your forehead? It must have just been too easy. I thought we had a good one, Tony. Who's our winner? Who are we talking to?
Aaron.
Aaron, congratulations. You got a $25 gift card to Troutman's. Wow.
You're smart, Aaron.
Aaron is the smartest guy on the show today. All right. Well, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron. Aaron, here's my trivia question as I was going to come at you. This golfer shot a 59 at Q School. Who was the golfer this week?
Michelle Weeks.
No. Harrison Frazier fired a 59.
Hey, maybe if you did that on a Sunday during the regular season, you wouldn't have to go to Q School.
Played in 300 events, never winning one yet.
Good God. Aaron, hold on the line. Derek will get your information, and we will be back with Charles Davis right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Hey guys, the boss just asked when we dropped our grade school requirement for all on-air personnel.
Friday is Vital Statistics Night, where we'll be giving out Social Security numbers.
Every time you go online, you could be announcing your Social Security or credit card numbers to identity thieves. Why risk the nightmare of having your identity stolen? Trend Micro Internet Security Pro provides smart security for total online safety when you shop, bank, and browse.
To lead off, my Social Security number is 555.
Internet Security Pro from Trend Micro. Maximum security. Online freedom.
If a stiff neck or an aching back is preventing you from working out, playing with your kids, or just enjoying special events, SalonPause can help. SalonPause, they're medicated patches that provide fast and sustained relief right where you need it most. No more stiff neck or aching back, just lasting relief. Get back to enjoying the life you deserve with SalonPause, available at major drugstores, membership warehouses, and local pharmacies.
SalonPaz, SalonPause, be more active.
Up next, a fresh forecast from the guys at Weather Eye, brought to you by Molly's Motorworks on East 25th and Kearney, where you always get a square deal and a fair shake. If you were out for a Sunday drive with the family 20 years ago in Kearney, there'd be a lot of places that you wouldn't even recognize. Well, excepting for that one place over on East 25th, Molly's Motorworks. Molly's been right there doing what she does best since 1987. A lot has changed since then, so it's a good thing to know that when you're in the market for a quality used car or truck, you can still get a square deal and a fair shake from Molly. Good to know.
A wind advisory remains in effect for the area early on yet today, as we'll see cloudy skies and some scattered flurries or a few snow showers. Then some partial clearing is expected this afternoon. Temperatures will stay up around 20 for the high, with north winds of around 15 to 30 miles per hour. Back to 13 for a low tonight. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Daddy, it's can you believe a month from today, we'll be talking about who the national champion is in college football, but it is still a month away between Oklahoma and Florida, and of course, all the great bowl games and probably some that won't be so great between now and then, and we'll have a bunch of them right here on ESPN Radio, but everybody right now, still the newness of Oklahoma, Florida. Will it be a scoring fest? Is it the right two teams? Who should be playing in this game? And now that it is those two, who's going to win it? And of course, fans have been chiming in on the poll question at ESPNSuperstation.com, Oklahoma or Florida.
Well, Doug, you said it. Is it the right two teams? And that's why we're pleased to be joined right now from the Big Ten Network, the NFL Network, all sorts of network, the Fox Sports Network, by Charles Davis. Charles, is it the right two teams?
I don't think we can definitively say, and hello, guys, first and foremost, but I don't think we can definitively say in a year where the top teams all have one loss that we have the right two teams. I think we have too many teams that can make a case, and I think make a legitimate case for being there. You know, part of the issue we have, and it's funny because the BCS was supposed to help solve all these issues because now we're bringing computers into the deal. Over the years, we've actually reduced the amount of impact computers can have and put it and increase the impact that humans can have. When the BCS began, it was actually the opposite.
Charles,
now here we are with all these teams, and it's funny because the two teams who are undefeated are two teams that no one talks about being in the title game because they come from non-BCS conferences, and that's Utah and Boise State. Everyone else has a loss, so they have that. You know, it's like being in high school, guys, and you're getting ready to ask that beautiful girl out, and then your confidence is low, and you're like, oh, boy, I've got to ask her out. And all of a sudden, the zit pops out on your nose. How do I hide that blemish? How do I cover that and still get her to go out with me? That's what all these teams were doing this year. Scoring 60-plus points in five straight games helps hide the blemish. you know, finishing up and winning the SEC championship over an undefeated number one team helps cover the blemish of a loss in late September and right on down the line. Who could cover their blemish the best, especially with the voters? And it turned out to be Oklahoma and Florida. But Texas can make a case. Texas Tech is saying, hold a second, we beat Texas. You're sitting there looking at Alabama saying, I know we've got one loss, and it was to Florida, but everyone else has a loss too, and you know, we should still be in this conversation. Penn State, one loss, we should be in this conversation. USC, the most dominant defense in the country, how come we're not talking about us? You see my point. So I think that ultimately it's a matchup that people like because of what it brings to the table. But definitively, I think that it's folly to say that definitively we've got the best two teams in it.
Charles Davis joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Charles, I guess they released how the coaches voted in the USA Today yesterday.
Now, that's always a humorous thing, isn't it?
Well, I don't understand. If you're a part of it and you get a say and you want your kids to be in the national title game, why would Mack Brown vote Florida number one? I just don't get it.
I don't understand it either. I think that sometimes there's a heightened sense of propriety. And there's a heightened sense of, I want to do the right thing, or how will I be viewed? I mean, I don't think for a second that Mack Brown doesn't sit around Texas and say, you know, boy, I did the right thing in 2004 when I campaigned for my team, but I'm still fanning the singe marks on me from everybody getting on my case about it. So maybe in the back of his mind he goes, hey, I vote us number two. You know, I think we should be in it, but I'm going to vote someone else number one, so you can't totally criticize me for it. Maybe, maybe not. I'm playing amateur psychologist here, guys.
All right.
And without a degree, that's a very dangerous thing to do, because malpractice suits will be coming forward soon. But when you look at the voting all across the board, I think the thing that struck me most is this. If I sit down any major college coach, all right, and I hit them with sodium pentothal, the good old truth serum, and I say, how have you broken a tie in all your years? They're going to tell me head to head. I'm firmly convinced of that. I'm firmly convinced that if I say to them, hey, you beat such and such a team during the year, but they're going in ahead of you and you have the same record at the end of the year, you cool with that? Because, you know, we think they played better down the stretch. What coach is going to tell you that they're cool with that? They're not. They're going to be very upset. They're going to go, hold a second, we beat them. If we don't believe that to be true, go back and ask Miami of Florida the year Florida State beat them, the year they beat Florida State during the season, and Florida State played Oklahoma for the national title. Same record at the end of the year. Ask Lou, you want to get Lou Holtz really fired up? Go say, hey, Lou, remember the year you beat Florida State in that latest game of the century at Notre Dame, and then you got beat by Boston College, but yet at the end of the year you had the same record as Florida State. You were both 11-1, won separate bowl games, and Florida State won the national title ahead of you. You think that was right? First thing he'd say, wow, we beat them head-to-head. Right? I mean, that's the first thing he would say. So the thing that you've got with the Big 12 South is because it's a three-way tie, the head-to-head impact gets lessened, even though in the court of public opinion, because Oklahoma beat Texas Tech like a drum, people essentially have taken Texas Tech out of the argument and gone back to Texas versus Oklahoma, head-to-head, how did that happen? And the funny part is, I think it liberated these coaches because most of them voted for Oklahoma ahead of Texas, even though Texas beat them head-to-head. And if I took all those coaches, hold a second, let me turn it around on you. They'd get, what, are you crazy? We beat them head-to-head. Well, then why'd you vote Oklahoma ahead of Texas? Well, it was a three-way tie, and, boy, did you see them down the stretch? Five straight games, 60-plus points? Oh, okay. New deal.
As you said, Charles Davis joining us here from the NFL Network covering the BCS championships for Fox Sports. I don't remember, since this system has come in, so many no-loss and one-loss teams, which really makes for interesting fodder. But, Charles, when you went in on Sunday, did you know in your heart of hearts that it was going to be Oklahoma and Florida?
I knew that when I went to bed Saturday.
So we'll follow that up with, I mean, if you had the vote, if it was you and only you to pick two teams for the national championship, which two would you pick?
Oh, boy. I tell you.
And I mean, I just think that's the problem with everybody that votes. And I mean, you have to pick two.
Yeah, it's the most difficult thing. I'll put it to you this way, because I'm in a pretty sensitive position since I am calling this title game. And I want to make sure I'm fair to these teams. the last thing I need is to walk in for my meetings. Oh, you think that?
Okay. Yeah, I get that.
That's right, but you guys never listen to all this stuff or read the newspaper.
Oh,
right?
Nobody listens to our show anyway.
My favorite part is when they tell you they never read the newspaper, and then they quote verbatim something that was said. Cracks me up. Oh, I thought you didn't read it. Oh, no. One of my aides put it on my desk this morning.
Yeah,
okay, got it, but you still read it. But anyway, all that being said, I love the matchup. I love the Oklahoma-Florida. I love the Big 12 SEC. I love so-called some of these questions being answered about defense versus offense and right on down the line. And, you know, the storylines are terrific with two Ohio guys coaching these football teams with their brand of toughness and how they got there. And, you know, Meyer's expertise is offense and Stoops' expertise is defense, yet Stoops' team is known for offense now. And right now Meyer's team, the reason that they're in this title game, yes, Tebow is scintillating. Tebow's wonderful. But defense brought him here this year because the defense made a quantum leap in improvement from last year to this year. So I think the whole thing is interesting. But if I were sitting in Austin, Texas, okay, if I'm sitting in Los Angeles, California, I'm really questioning what's going on. I have to ask that question. And frankly, guys, again, if I go sodium pentothal and I say, okay, the one team you don't want to play, in a one-game showdown for the whole shooting match. Who is it, guys? And I hit them all with a jab. I believe that USC would come off of their lips.
Well, I think that's probably what would come off a lot of people's lips.
I think they'd go, oh, God, got to go against that defense, and you just keep waiting for that offense to explode because there's just too much talent. And it's funny, we're getting on that offense about it not exploding and what have you, but if you're only giving up less than 8 points per ball game, how much explosion do you need? I mean, you know, we're all over USC, but, oh, the offense, they're not moving, they're not doing this. They're giving up less than 8 points a game. Are you kidding me?
Charles Davis joins us from the NFL Network. Charles, you've had a chance all year long to study all the conferences out there. It's been kind of the battle of SEC and Big 12. Obviously, here in Big 12 country, we look at Florida's loss to Ole Miss and say, boy, that's not a very good loss. How good is the SEC?
No, the SEC is very good. Don't fool yourselves that it's not still terrific. It's a little more top-heavy this year, though. I mean, you know, the SEC people may not like that, but it's true. Because you get Alabama, you get Florida. Georgia's still good, but they're not what we thought in preseason, okay, to almost go Dennis Green, right? So the way that they finished doesn't help the case. LSU essentially fell off the map, and that was shocking. When you looked at what they brought back on defense, you knew that they might struggle on offense a little because of the quarterback position, but defensively you figured they'd hold in there. Instead, people are dropping 50s on them. Florida, Georgia did it at Tiger Stadium. You're like, whoa, what's going on here? So that doesn't help. Tennessee, normally in the picture, bowl team. Auburn, normally in the picture, bowl team. See, when you don't have those teams playing up to snuff, Who backfills for you? Well, you can't count Vanderbilt and Kentucky's backfilling when they're both 6-6. All right, that's not backfilling for you at all, okay? You know, Ole Miss, much better at the end of the year. Remember, they beat Florida. At the time, they were unranked, but they finished the year with a real flourish. But still, while they're 8-4, it's not 8-4 against your normal SEC. Arkansas wasn't very good this year. I'd go right on down the line. Now you flip it over to the Big 12. And you talk about three teams that should be playing in BCS bowl games. Because if you didn't have the rule of only two per conference, then you know darn well Texas Tech is in a BCS bowl game, and deservedly so. So they're even more top-heavy than the SEC in terms of elite teams this year. But then you go down and go down through the list, they have the same issues the SEC would have. They don't have very many teams down near the bottom that scare you at all. I mean, if I called you up and said, hey, you got to go play Kansas State, Colorado, Iowa State. Where do I sign up? I'll take my chances. You know, this is not a knock against those programs. It's just that they're not there. They're not there yet. I would imagine Hawks going to keep building and Colorado will get better. You know, you got Bill Snyder back who gets another shot at Kansas State. Let's hope Thomas Wolf was wrong, that he can go home again. And you just go right on down the line. But overall, it's just a matter of picking your preference and picking your pleasure, both terrific conferences. But if you're going to say the most top-heavy, most elite teams this year, you'd have to say the Big 12, in my opinion.
Charles, we'll let you get out of here with this one. We've been talking all national championship game, and you'll also be doing the Orange Bowl with Virginia Tech and Cincinnati. Do you like the matchups of the BCS games? Are they all good for you? You think we're going to have a good set of five this time around?
I think we've got some good ones. We've got some intriguing ones. There was a lot of talk about, you know, is there a possibility of maybe getting Alabama and Texas together? You know, that sort of deal. And that's what I keep having to point out to people, that the BCS was created to get one and two together. After that, it kind of falls back on traditional bowl stuff. So my best example is, okay, let's say you want to get Alabama and Texas together, which would be a tremendous matchup. Okay, we all love it. Traditional powers, the whole deal. Now you've got to go to the Sugar Bowl, which has Alabama as an anchor team. And don't forget, the Sugar Bowl's got Utah coming in now. And then you go to the Fiesta Bowl, and the reason Ohio State was brought in because they travel like crazy, and they had enough credentials to get there rather than Boise State. So you get good people that travel, and you get a better TV rating. Because the dirty little secret is that Boise State doesn't bring you TV ratings, despite what people think. You know that Boise State-Oklahoma game that was so fantastic?
Oh, yeah.
One of the lower-rated BCS games on TV ever?
Yeah. People just didn't have faith. They don't have faith.
You know what it is, guys? It's like we all like to say we love the little guy. We love the upsets. We love that. But our viewing patterns don't bear that out. Otherwise, wouldn't the Tampa Bay Rays Phillies World Series been a really tremendously received series?
Exactly. Exactly.
It wasn't. Okay, so that's the bottom line. But what I was saying, to finish my point, you've got to convince those bowls that they're going to give up someone. You're going to convince the Fiesta Bowl they're going to give up Texas, or you're going to convince the Sugar Bowl they're going to give up Alabama in order to make that happen, because they can't play in both bowls. They got to play in one. And those bowls are like, you must be out of your mind. That's not happening. You know, I'm not doing that. And you know the Pac-10 and Big Ten aren't giving up the Rose Bowl. And why should they? USC, Penn State with Joe Pa? If you're going to get a bowl matchup that you don't have a national championship game, there's none better than that one for them. Think of all the storylines, the intrigue. Could this be Paterno's last game? Will he run out of the tunnel with his new hip? You know, will he coach from the sideline rather than the box? We could spend an hour just on Joe Pa before we even get to the matchup. So that works for them, and they're not about to give up something like that.
Well, Charles, we enjoy following your work, and anybody that gets to work with Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson, that's got to be a treat in itself. How fun is that as we let you get out of here?
It's a blast. You know, with those guys, they're just, you know, think about it. Barry and Jimmy, are you kidding me? The unfortunate part for everyone is that you can't hear us at break, you know, and you can't hear us before we even go on air. That's where the most fun is, because, you know, there's got to be some decorum on television. But to sit and listen to them talk about the stories of their careers and different things that happened, and also talk football and allow me to eavesdrop and listen in and learn some things, not much better for a little guy like me from New Paltz, New York, let me tell you.
Doing a great job covering college football for the Big Ten, the NFL, and, of course, for the Bowl Championship Series on Fox. Charles Davis on the Doug and Daddy Show. Charles, thanks so much for the time, and we look forward to watching all the great bowl games.
Hey, always a pleasure, always a chance for me to jump in and talk with my cousin Tony. What more can I ask for?
All right? Appreciate that.
Hey, we'll save a spot for you Christmas dinner, okay, big guy?
That's a promise. That's a promise. Appreciate it, Charles.
All right, then. Mom would be happy to see you again, okay?
I didn't know. What's Mom making?
Brother of a different mother.
What's Mom making?
It'll always be turkey. Turkey and ham.
Turkey is so good. Interesting points in there. Of course, every time they bring up Ohio State, why are there two Big Ten teams in the BCS? Because Texas Tech can't be. Because Boise State doesn't get that shot. As you know, people are tired of the same old teams over and over. This is a chance to get Ohio State out of it, with Penn State being the Big Ten champion. So there you go. Hey, we want
nobody else wanted them in that bowl either. Please take it, BCS. Please take them.
But you know what? Ohio State, pretty good football team. They lose a close one to Penn State, and they lose to Southern Cal. They're both in the BCS.
35-3.
Well, but they're both in the BCS. And Texas Tech can't be in because two Big 12 teams, that's all you can get from a conference. Hey, we want to thank Charles Davis for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Tomorrow, we will have a special guest from the Nebraska volleyball team as they get set to depart for Seattle in the NCAA tournament. Plus, later on in the week, Damon Day, UNK baseball coach, some high school and college basketball talk, plus NFL power rankings and more.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.